Linda Burney is an Australian politician, member of the House of Representatives and the Shadow Minister for Families and Social Services and for Preventing Family Violence. She was a member of the New South Wales Legislative Assembly representing Canterbury for the Australian Labor Party from 2003 to 2016 when she resigned to contest the federal seat of Barton. Upon her election, she became the first Aboriginal person to serve in the New South Wales Parliament, and Linda is also the first Aboriginal woman to be elected to the Australian House of Representatives. Linda was the New South Wales Deputy Leader of the Opposition and also Shadow Minister for Education and Shadow Minister for Aboriginal Affairs. Linda is of Wiradjuri and Scottish descent and grew up in Whitton, a small town in southwest New South Wales near Leeton. So tell me, Linda, what were the formative cultural experiences you grew up with?
I grew up in a really tiny little country town, a very poor town in the southwest of New South Wales, down the irrigation area in the Riverina. I grew up with my great aunt and uncle, who were non-Aboriginal people. They raised me. They were brother and sister. They were born in the late 1890s, and they did an incredibly brave thing, I think, looking back on it, by raising an Aboriginal child who was born out of wedlock, which, of course, was something that was a shocking thing back in those days. I also grew up in a tiny town where, I suppose, like most tiny towns, everyone knew each other's business, and where most of the kids rode horses, rode push bikes, and spent most of the day outside swimming or playing in the bush, but raised with really, really, really old-fashioned values of loyalty and good manners and treating people well and showing respect and being honest and being kind.
And what were your musical influences? Was there a picture theatre in town?
Well, there weren't a lot of musical influences in the house I grew up in. It was a very strict home in many ways. We didn't have a television. There was one electrical outlet and there was a radio. I remember radio series more than songs. And I can't say there were big musical influences in my early life because we just weren't around music. But what I can say is that, of course, you had the ABC music show at school, and we had our ABC music book, and of course you learned all the good old songs that still abound today. I remember the Seekers, I remember people like Chad Morgan, believe it or not. People probably won't even remember that. And yeah, very, very old songs like The Road to Gundagai and things like that. When I was a small child, where we still sang God Save the Queen.
I remember at school singing and listening on a Tuesday afternoon with my ABC workbook.
That's correct. I had the same experience. but at home, there wasn't much music at all.
But there were radio series.
It was the ABC. I think it was Blue Hills. That's how far it went back. I don't remember them all now, but I do know we used to rush home and listen to the radio at 5 o'clock for something, and it was really the radio that dominated in the home I grew up in.
No picture theatre in the little tiny town?
No picture theatre. I do remember, though, there was a picture theatre in the next town called Leeton, and my uncle used to take me to the pictures, and I remember very clearly the Sound of Music.
The Sound of Music,
yeah, I can. And Mary Poppins.
So what was special about these things for you? Did they hold any particular value?
The value for me was that my uncle, whom I was very close to, Uncle Billy, he was, I guess, like my father, and he used to take me to the town dances. I remember the progressive barn dance and the Pride of Erin. It was really about him taking me that was so special.
Tell me, can ageing be fun?
Yes and no. What's not fun is that your body starts to let you know how old you are or what your age is. I don't see myself as an old person by any stretch of the imagination, not in the least. I think I have a very, vibrant job. I'm a vibrant person. I have an important role to play in the broader community through my political position. And I don't feel like I'm an old person. I think our perception of age has changed. I mean, you know, 50 years ago, if you made it to your 60s or 70s, you were considered to be old. But I think that's changed very much now, where they say that 60 is the new 40 or whatever. But you do notice that you messed up when you were 16 playing netball comes back to hurt. And, of course, I broke my foot very badly when I was about 20. And I notice now that that's not feeling too terrific, and you're just a lot stiffer. You're not as supple as you used to be.
I've been speaking recently with Susan Ryan, who was Australia's first age discrimination commissioner, and also to Bettina Arndt, and they say that there is an upside to ageing.
Well, I think there is an upside, because you really do get to a point, I'm not sure when it magically happens, but it is something that comes with age and maturity, about knowing yourself, knowing what you stand for, understanding the world a bit better, and I think becoming much more tolerant and much more easygoing, in the sense of not having to have everything done yesterday, understanding that people look at you with respect, people look to you for advice and direction and a great deal of affection.
Not everybody, as they get older, finds that they get treated with more respect. Recently, as I said, I was speaking with Susan Ryan. She says that a lot of older people become invisible.
I think that's very true. I don't think Australia or Australians value older people like they should. I mean, I'm Aboriginal, so within Aboriginal culture, age does bestow on you some very great things, like knowledge and maturity and understanding, and you don't become invisible. But I think in the broader community, that's certainly the case. I think there's a lot of loneliness with old people. I think there's a lot of isolation. Children could do a lot better with their aged parents than what they do, quite frankly. I remember having the experience a little while ago of sitting in an emergency ward for most of the night with somebody, and watching older people being brought in by ambulances with nobody with them, no one to keep them company. They'd had a fall, living on their own. And I'm just thinking, how can that be in a society like ours?
Hugh McKay, who spoke to this program, says that there is an epidemic of loneliness, particularly among older people.
I think that's very true. And the other thing that's very concerning, of course, is that we see, especially with women, that there is a growing number of older women who are becoming homeless and falling into very serious poverty because, you know, they've lost their home in a divorce, or their superannuation funds are very limited. And I think that that's particularly an issue for older women.
So, Linda, do you value your social connections? How important are they to you?
My social connections are incredibly important to me, absolutely vital. I have had more or less the same group of friends for the last 30 or 40 years, and you can't put a value on that friendship, and that friendship has seen me through some very good times and some incredibly sad and difficult times in my life. And I would say very openly that I don't think I'd be standing, I don't think I'd be the person I am, I don't think I'd be doing what I'm doing if it weren't for my friends and my social connections.
And how do you maintain those connections? You get together for a coffee, a dinner?
No, we, you maintain them through friendship, through children, through celebrating, through support when people are ill, through connections when people pass away. You visit, you stay in touch. And you make an effort. That's how you maintain them.
Well, while I have you on the phone, you're a member of the opposition, and I presume that the Labor Party has a policy on ageing and perhaps even healthy ageing. Do you want to speak to that at all?
Yes, there is. Julie Collins is the Shadow Aged Care spokesperson. So I won't go into lots of details. I'm responsible for prevention of family violence and also families and social services. So that's particularly concerned around the age pension. The biggest social security payment in Australia is the age pension. It's about 60% of the social security budget. But we really believe that the age pension is a right, and we've been working on very strong policy development to make accessing the age pension easier. We've seen the age pension core wait times and payment times blow out under this government, so we want to reduce the time that people have to wait to get the age pension. And we also want to make sure that processing of the age pension is not outsourced by Centrelink. We're also talking about increasing the number of Centrelink people who are working in Centrelink, which will make things much better for older people. We're also focused on the quality and standards of our aged care facilities, and that's been a big issue. We support the Royal Commission that's presently happening into aged care, and we also want to make sure that those providers of aged care facilities are top-notch.
So, Linda Burney, do you want to nominate a song to go out on?
I do. This takes me back to my small town experience, and I'd like to dedicate a song called Red Dirt Girl, and it's by Emmylou Harris.
Thank you very much, Linda Burney, for joining us today on Nostalgia Town.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.